Welcome to this interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Ms. Michelle Tinkhoff. She is the Managing Director of C. Steinwerk in Africa for imports, and also her colleague, Mr. Gerald Povey, who is the Director for Project Mining and Energy, also for Steinwerk in Africa. First of all, welcome, Michelle.
Well, welcome. Thanks for having us on the interview. Appreciate it.
Welcome. And Gerald, welcome to you as well.
Yeah, thank you, Bo. Look forward to the interview.
As you know, we always take ladies first. And since I'm located in Sweden, that's the law here. So we're happy to do that.
No problem.
Michelle, you've seen some of the previous interviews in Project Cargo Weekly, and you have no doubt noticed that we always let the accused explain to our viewers about their background. So starting off with you, how did you end up in your current position, please?
So, I started off in logistics with UTI years ago. Where I started actually off on the import side, first on air freight, then on ocean freight. Then I went over to focus on exports into Africa on the mining side, and then on the project side for operations. And then from there, looked after all the Africa work for UTI those days. And then from there, I moved then over through to Steinbach, where I was more focusing on the exports, more on commodities like metals and minerals and agriculture. And then, we moved further on because of our vast background that we've always worked with the mines and the metals and minerals to focus on that developing on projects and imports into the region. So, that's a brief summary of myself and okay. Up to where I'm now.
Okay, and you're located in Johannesburg. That's where you're working out of, yeah?
Correct.
Okay. Right. Gerald, what is your background sitting here?
Bo is, I've been in the industry for over 35 years. Mm-hmm. Started off with the company WTC, which then merged with, got taken over by Burlington. Mm-hmm. Who in turn, the owners then bought out Union Transport. Mm-hmm. And I started the projects division for Union Transport back in 1996 with oil and gas projects into Mozambique, and then developed that into mining. Union Transport then listed and changed to UTI. And I then grew the projects division for UTI. And then took on a global position as the global vice president of projects for UTI, mm-hmm. before the acquisition of UTI by DSV. Mm-hmm. Under DSV, I was the regional head of projects for Africa until February 2020, where I moved across to Steinbach to set up the projects of mining energy division with Michelle, who we had worked together for many years at UTI together for the Steinbach organization, who have a very strong network within Africa.
Okay, that's I think I can certainly say that both of you have a very impressive background, and I think for our viewers it would be nice to know just a brief recap of the history of Steinbach, because you seem to be doing a lot of not only warehousing, you are forwarding, you have a lot of activities. But just before we go into detail, maybe a brief background, Michelle, on who are Steinwerk? Where do you actually come from? It sounds a bit Dutch, the name as such. Is that correct?
That's correct. So Steinwerk was founded in 1847 in Rotterdam. And it's obviously grown into a multinational logistics company mm-hmm. that offers stevedoring, the warehousing and the forwarding services out of Europe, Asia, Africa and the Americas. In 2012, Steinbach has expanded its footprint to focus, how can I say, very heavily on the Africa side. And we were known as Bridge Shipping in Africa. So Bridge Shipping in Africa has been in existence for over 40 years. And Steinbach in 2012 then acquired majority shares in Bridge Shipping, which then made it C. Steinbach Bridge in Africa. So, and as you know, well, Steinbach has been over the years a commodity warehouse where they focus a lot more on the metals and the ferro alloys and the steel industries. So they've actually been very close to all the mining companies and the smelters over all the years. And in Africa, Bridge Shipping actually also had those very close relationships of all the mines, because we did obviously all the exports and that for them. Hence why we developed into a very big partner in Project Cargo. So over the years, we've developed quite a lot on Project Cargo into the DRC and into Zambia, and have just expanded our footprint onto all the other countries. So yeah, it's basically developed itself. But yes, very big in warehousing and stevedoring and obviously all the forwarding services.
Okay. So in a way, coming to you, you can offer, let's say, the whole package, because I believe, I mean, when you have this kind of relationship with the mines, and the mines obviously need equipment, the equipment needs transportation. So that means it's not something you let go to other companies. You can do the whole package for these mines, right?
Correct. Yeah. So for instance, if we've got big movements that needs to move from, say, Europe, we can do all the stevedoring in Holland or in Antwerp. We do the chartering, where we can also charter all the vessels. We can do the offloading, where we've got all our ships agency, and we can also do all the port work and all the big ports that we work in. As well as we've got the entire team that focuses on heavy moving of cargo, where we can do route surveys and all of that up until moving it to the mines to actually, how can I say, installing it at the mines and that.
Okay.
So we can do the entire full movement from sea freight, road freight, and air freight, which we've got to offer, yeah.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. Also, JL, just to let you have your say here, how would you say that it works with the mines and minerals today in Africa? There's a lot of focus on, you know, scarcity of some minerals, and the prices are going up. Would you say that there's a big business, or is there a boom or a bust in your industry at the moment?
No, I think it certainly is starting to boom, particularly around the gold sector. The copper and the cobalt industries are very active. So if you look at where the cobalt, copper, particularly in the copper belt in Zambia and southern DRC, you've got gold, and Barrick have expanded with all of their mines in Tanzania and northeastern DRC. And West Africa is also becoming a lot, there's a lot of new developments of mines. And I think what we can offer the clients is being able to move the reagents, the engineering spares, and all of the equipment to keep the mines operational, plus the exports of all of the commodities. Plus, when they do either brownfields or greenfields projects, we offer that service as well. So a little bit of a one-stop shop, being able to handle all aspects from reagents. And we've developed a lot of the additional tools to add value in the client supply chains.
Okay, so let me just take a typical example. Let's assume that I'm a project freight forwarder sitting in Finland, and Finland is famous for some kind of mining. They got a supplier, sure, or let's say a shipper called Autotech, who have, yep, big projects into the gold mines and copper mines. So let's say I'm a project forwarder sitting in Finland. I got some heavy machines to ship to some mine in Zambia. Then I could basically contact you in Steinweg in South Africa. You could do the inland transport from port. Let's say I organized it down to South African port. You could do the inland transport and delivery to the mine like a normal forwarder, let's say, would do, right?
Absolutely. So it's actually, you use that example. We are doing a lot of quoting for Autotech right now,
okay,
for equipment coming out of Finland and other parts of Europe. And where we don't have our own offices, we work with project network partners that we've developed very good relationships with. We work very closely with one of them, is a company called TGP, who I'm sure you know, and we have a very strong relationship agency agreement with them. And they service us where Steinmetz doesn't have their own offices, but absolutely. So If a network or an agent in Finland needs a local partner from a rival port, we can arrange the discharge. They will do the port management, the load supervision. We can arrange marine surveyors and all of the outer gauge cargo, including all the permits and whatever is required to move the cargo anywhere within sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay, so just since many of my viewers, or let's say many of PCW viewers, are ship owners and also project forwarders, another question comes to mind. You would be totally, let's say, I would, in a way, I would call you like a carrier because you can do it all. A freight forwarder comes to you with, let's say, a project he has in hand, but you will be neutral to that freight forwarder, right? You will not contact his customer directly, or you will be, whoever comes to you with cargo, you will treat them as if it was your own, correct?
Correct. So we've got a, like for instance, in Europe and that, because we do a lot of stevedoring services and we work a lot with the project freight forwarders.
Right.
So we definitely treat it as independent. So there where the project freight forwarders do come to us, we obviously work with them. On the South Africa side, you'll also see a lot of your project freight forwarders also don't have representative in Africa, hence why they also like working with us from an Africa point of view, because they're not here, so they'll do the international movement, and we'll then take over from the local movement. So yes, we do treat them as very independent.
Okay, it's very, why I asked this, it's very simple, because as you know yourselves, the water is very muddled at the moment. You see ship owners like some of the big ones, they now want to be one-stop shop, they want to be the solution for everyone. And that leads, of course, to the question, is the forwarder, is there still space for him in all that? So, but at least it's good to hear anyone comes to you with some cargo, no matter who they are, you treat it as their cargo and you will quote based on that. So that means you will give everyone the same treatment, whoever comes to you, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Very good. Then in Africa, can you outline a bit for our viewers, where do you have your offices? Where are you physically, let's say, yourself represented?
So we are in, from Tanzania, Dar es Salaam port, all the way down to Mozambique in Pemba, Nacala, Tete, Beira, Maputo. Then down to South Africa, where we are in Durban, Richards Bay, Durban, PE, Cape Town. A little bit up to Namibia, where we are focused in Walvis Bay. Mm-hmm. We obviously got very big facilities in Johannesburg. And then Zimbabwe and Harare, Mutare, in Zambia and Lusaka, and in Ndola, and also at all the border posts. Mm-hmm. Malawi and Lilongwe, Lwande, and Blantyre. DRC, we're up in Lubumbashi. So very big in the southern side, where we are very big in heavy in assets, where we've got warehouses, but we can obviously arrange the whole movement from transport, customs clearance, the warehousing, the port operations. Okay. And then on a West Africa point of view, we've got our agents that are based in West Africa, but our own physical presence where we are all the way Tanzania down.
Okay. I must say that's a pretty impressive coverage of the African continent. The way I see it sitting here up in the north, we don't know much about Africa up here. Most of the people who call themselves Africa experts have only visited either Egypt for a holiday or South Africa, but they haven't visited anything else. So when somebody comes to me and say, oh, we are Africa expert, we can do this and that, very few have that distinction, but it sounds to me like you do have it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
How do you see, let's say, do you agree with me and my contention that Africa perhaps is the last continent where real projects are still coming, because you have, is it 50 countries or something like that? Do you see a bright future for your development where you have your offices?
Yeah, absolutely. I think certainly from an oil and gas perspective, there has been a lot of development within Mozambique. Unfortunately, due to all of the insurgent issue, Total had declared force majeure on the project, the Fungi project in Area 1, which has put a bit of a dampener, because it was a big focus area for us with our own office in Bemba, and putting in our own landing crafts to service that particular project. Mm-hmm. The East Africa, certainly there's a lot of development for the Kingfisher, Talinga, and the ECOP pipeline, which is a JV again between Total and CNOOC. Mm-hmm. So that certainly is and they signed the host government agreements, and the foreign investment decisions were signed off a couple of weeks ago. So we expect some development, and a lot of tenders and expressions of interest have been floated. From South Africa, there were some very big finds, again, by Total, who are very active in Africa, off the coasts of Mossel Bay. They're two, they drilled two projects, and that potentially has got the opportunity. They've elected not to do any more exploration, but go, they're looking at possible production. So that has got great opportunity. And then into Namibia, there's some drilling projects off the coast of Lüderitz, some over there. And then up into West Africa, your Nigeria's, Ghana's the new drilling one. And then mining. Mining is, there's a lot of, as we've mentioned, copper. There's the big Ivanhoe Zijin mine going up in the DRC right now. It's in phase two of the projects. Plus, as well, a lot of the gold projects in East and West. West are very busy. There's some big projects going on and some being rehabilitated mines up into West Africa. So certainly we see from a project perspective as Africa as one of the growth points for the cargo. Okay. Obviously COVID has played a role with some of the projects and arranging finance. So a lot of them are the juniors as opposed to the majors when it comes to mining. And arranging finance is not been that easy since COVID and also travel restrictions due to COVID. But yeah, we do see a bright long-term future.
Okay, you mentioned the Chinese group Zijin Mining, which is a bit known to me because I was based in China for 14 years, you know. And better make sure that that they don't take it all with them when they go back. Nah, joke aside, it actually precedes my next question. Do you see the Chinese very active in the mining and infrastructure there in all over Africa, I should say? Do you see that?
Yes, for sure. I must say, obviously, in DRC and in Zambia very much. We can actually probably see about probably over 80% of the mines are actually Chinese-based. So it's obviously important that we focus on them. And yes, they are definitely expanding into all the other areas like in Botswana and that. So yes, it's definitely an area that is playing a very big part in Africa.
And from a political standpoint, even this is not a political newspaper, and I try not to have too many opinions. I have it, of course, when the interview is off. But from a political standpoint, how is Chinese investment being welcomed in Africa these days? You know, there's been a lot of talk in the last decade about China taking over Africa, but also receiving countries found out that perhaps it wasn't so good to be in debt. What's the situation right now, in your opinion?
I think it's an interesting one because it still continues where the Africa governments are accepting it. And I think it's unfortunate where, they don't always look after the local development that much, because I think they'll always support their own suppliers. But I think it's the Chinese have got the funding and the ability to invest in the countries. Yeah. And I think the governments are just open and eager for that funding. But it's always open for if they really do the local development in the countries. So, but yes, they definitely are. All governments are very open for it still.
You're right. It's a good fair comment. We have to accept that the world's second largest economy is in there, and they are active and they are willing to put the money where, let's say, the mouth is. But there's always a catch, as we say. But anyway, good to have your viewpoint on this. I will not. I don't have too many left questions here to ask. But one thing I would like to ask you: you mentioned a little bit the COVID. How is the current situation where you are in South Africa? Are you allowed to travel around, or are you still, let's say, stuck?
Yeah, South Africa is, unfortunately, we're quite way behind with the vaccinations, and so is the rest of Africa. Our rate of low is relatively low, although there's prediction we could go into the third wave. Mm-hmm. Traveling into Africa, most of the African places are open. Although flights are restricted, it's not as open as what it was pre-COVID. But it is, obviously you need to have the COVID tests before and after. Right. But yeah, one can get around and travel. But unfortunately, due to the South African variant, a lot of countries, particularly in Europe and the UK, have put South Africa on the red list. Mm-hmm. And until we've had our vaccinations and got the vaccinations, a lot more people vaccinated, I think travel will be restricted into some of the other continents at this stage.
Right. So in effect, you can move, but it's cumbersome. And I think that's also what I see from here. As I mentioned earlier, just in the beginning here, before we started, I got my first injection here on Friday and we'll have the next one on June. So let's say after I get my second shot, can I then fly to South Africa to visit you if I wanted?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no, South Africa hasn't got as many restrictions people coming in. You just need to arrive with a negative COVID test.
Okay.
And yes, I suppose it will come down like we have a passport. We'll have our certificate of vaccination. And that'll become a requirement. We'll travel as similar to the yellow fever book cards that we have in Africa. Ah, yeah. You don't go anywhere without that.
Right. Okay, but that's good to hear. The main thing is that you're safe and sound, and I guess we'll have to see where the chips fall regarding this. But really, both of you have given me quite a good impression. You've answered all the questions I could kind of think of shooting from the hip here. And I think I want to say, first of all, many thanks to you, Michelle.
Well, thanks for allowing us today. Really appreciate it. It's been great to be part of it.
You're welcome. And Gerald, thank you to you as well.
Yeah, both. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And any of your other agents looking for someone to support them within the African continent, to either reach out to Michelle or myself, we'll gladly be able to assist them with whatever requirements into the region.
And sounds hopefully good. We see you at the next Breakball conference.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. We'll catch up. We need quite a few bottles after all of this. Anyway, I want to say to all our viewers, listeners, readers around the world, this was yet another great interview, of course, in my opinion, since I am kind of the editor here. And this time our special guest of honor has been Michelle and also Gerald from C. Steinweg in South Africa, looking after the African continent. Thank you very much for listening, and stay tuned at PCW for further interviews in the near future. Thank you.